All right, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I am actually going to start by having you guys turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5. I'll give y'all just a second to get there. Are we good? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. 14, verses 1 through 5. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Pray with me. God, I just thank you for this morning, Lord, and I just thank you for entrusting me with this topic, God. We just give this morning to you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us greater understanding of this gift, God, and just like scripture says, that we would learn to eagerly desire and seek after this gift, God, knowing that it's to build other people up, to encourage them, to comfort them, God. I just pray that you would give us a heart just to do that, Lord. I just pray for this time that these would be your words. Your words would go forth, God. We just ask your blessing upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's super great to be with you guys this morning for the last week of this book. I'm a little sad that this book is ending, and I'm excited about it ending with this gift of prophecy. You know, I was listening to a sermon one time, and the man was speaking about how often we run from things that we don't understand. And in preparing for this and kind of going through this whole book on the gifts of the Spirit, I realize how often we tend to do that with the gifts of the Spirit. We may not understand one, and so we just kind of like ignore it or set it to the side, or, oh, I've heard of that, but I don't really get it, so I'm not kind of pressing into it. And this was kind of my story with the gift of prophecy. I had heard prophecy. It's such a common word in the body of Christ. But I didn't understand the gifting of prophecy. I had such a big picture view of like a prophet who's sharing really big ideas and big pictures about changes to the nation or upcoming things that are happening, or like my husband who was called up in front of a church at 13 years old about what he was going to do with his life. I had such a narrow window of what I thought prophecy was. And it can be those things. But what I've learned is that it can also be more simple in our day-to-day life. And learning through the scripture that I just read, it's something that we should all desire and seek after. And really capitalizing on the all, it's not just for people who think they have this gift or who themselves are like, oh, I want this gift. No, it doesn't give any differentiation. We should all desire and seek after this gift. In fact, it's the only gift we're specifically told in scripture to earnestly desire and speak. And I love what Prince, he goes as far to say that any believer, therefore, who is not interested in and who is not seeking prophecy is really ignoring scriptural exhortation. I was like, well, that is one way of putting it, because I definitely, speaking of obedience, don't want to ignore being exhorted through the Bible. And so it's been a challenge for me starting this out. Man, God, what am I like desiring to use this gift of prophecy? Like, do I seek after operating in this gift? And to be honest, my answer for a while was no. Maybe I was doing it sometimes and not really realizing, and that's great, but a pursuit of it was not happening in my life. We even see prophecy being spoken forth, how it will be an indicator of the end times. In Joel, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. It's for everyone. Again, there's no discrimination here about who the Lord says will his spirit be poured out on and who will prophesy, man, woman, young, old. It's his desire for us. So that's great to know and everything. But like me, I'm like, okay, well, what is prophecy then? If it's not just like this big idea thing of like huge things happening, how would we define prophecy? Prince in the book says, prophecy is the ability to speak in a language understood by the believer, words that are inspired and given by the Holy Spirit. Great definition if you break it down, but I was like, I need something a little more simple to hold on to. And so I listened to another pastor, Brady Boyd, and he put it in this terminology that I felt was really easy to hang on to. He said, the gift of prophecy is God using ordinary people like you and me to speak to other people on his behalf. And I was like, okay, I can get with this. God using ordinary people like you and me to speak to other people on his behalf. How humbling. What an honor. What a gift that the God of the universe would choose to partner with us. Like, who are we that he would choose to partner with us to speak to other people on his behalf? When you think about it in those terminology, man, why wouldn't I want this gift? Why wouldn't I want to earnestly desire and seek after such a precious thing to be used by God for God, knowing that I don't have to have all these qualifications? He wants us all to do it. Only that we would eagerly desire. I'm going to speak first here a little bit on the nature of prophecy that we read quite a bit in the book, just what kind of prophecy entails, what it typically looks like. And then after that, we're going to spend some time focusing on how to judge prophecy, because it's also equally important that we're not just receiving everything that we hear and counting it as words from the Lord. So, first part of prophecy we can see in Scripture is that it is given for people. Its primary purpose of prophecy is to speak to people words from God. It is directed at believers. We see that directly in Scripture. If you go further down in chapter 14, it says, thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for the unbelievers, but for believers. So we see that directly in Scripture. This is for believers. It is for the edification of the church. What a gift to the body of Christ. I mean, what a really unique gift that he wants to use this gifting to edify his body, to speak to his people. Prophecy is used to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Your Bible might have different words for that. It might talk about encouragement, might talk about consolation, different verbiages for this. But the goal is that it is for the edification, exhortation, and comfort. In 1 Corinthians 14, we look back at 3-4. It says, he speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. I think in this version, it says, for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Edifying simply means to make people more effective in the body of Christ, in whatever callings, whatever giftings that God has given to them. You're edifying them in the ministries that they are a part of. Exhorting means to stimulate, to encourage, to spur on, to stir up. This can include severe warning and rebuke, and does sometimes, but it never includes condemnation. And to comfort simply means to cheer up. When I think of these definitions, I think of a time that was really impactful in my life that I was prophesied over. And I may not have realized that's what was happening at the time, but looking back, very much was. So several months ago, we were at a leaders meeting, and Bonnie actually was like asking people if they had experienced intimidation, individually in their life. She just like sensed from the Lord. So I spoke to the group and was saying, you know, sometimes I do experience intimidation when teaching, especially to people who are older than me or more experienced than me. And so we had an opportunity at the end for the leaders to pray over people. And when I was being prayed over, I still remember some very distinct things that were said of people encouraging, stirring up this gift within me, speaking about where I was headed, what God had given me, and what he was calling me to. I was being encouraged with this intimidation. I was being comforted. I was being exhorted. I was being edified in my giftings within the body. And it's really changed me since that moment. So powerful that this gift, we have to grab hold of that, that this edification, this encouragement, this comfort, so important. It embodies the gift. The gift of prophecy never brings condemnation, like I mentioned before. Prince says, true prophesying does not serve the devil's purpose. It undoes the devil's purpose. And I love that. If an influence, a suggestion, a message comes in your life that has the effect of discouraging you, you can almost always not attribute it to the Holy Spirit, because that is never the Lord's goal for us to be condemned. We are therefore now under no condemnation. Scripture is very clear about that. That is never his goal with us, to feel condemned. And so we wouldn't attribute those words to the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy is going to build up and encourage. Prophecy also comes through our comforter. The Holy Spirit is called in and sent by God to help us. We see all throughout Scripture, Jesus, when he's going away, he's like, when I go, I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send a comforter to help you. Comfort to speak, and also comfort to receive. We're not doing this on our own accord, which is such the beautiful thing about this, is that we actually have the Holy Spirit being part of this process, guiding us with this gift and helping us to be able to receive the gift as well. Prophecy gives a word in season to those who are spiritually, physically, and emotionally weary. I love the scripture in Proverbs 15:23. It says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Another translation, I love how it says this. It says, everyone enjoys giving great advice, which is pretty true. But how delightful it is to say the right thing at the right time. And I was like, wow, I love that. How delightful it is to say the right thing at the right time. A story, actually, I did not have planned, but it came forth this morning that was very cool to me. We were sitting around the table in the leaders' meeting, chatting, and Bonnie asked me to kind of like share how I'm feeling maybe about this morning. And typically, when I've spoken in the past, I deal with some kind of battle before I speak. Like my kids get super sick. I'm like, everyone pray. I might not show up. Like it just always seems to be something. And so I was saying it's so beautiful. I wasn't battling anything this time. But I said I was convicted because I didn't realize that I was starting to have expectation of something going wrong. And so I was really challenged in that. So one of the other leaders walked up to me after, and she said, that word was exactly for me. Like, she's like, literally in this hour, in this moment. Like, it was in due season. I wasn't trying to give a word of prophecy to her, but I'm talking about this importance of a timely word in due season. How delightful it is to say the right thing at the right time. How powerful it can be.
Sorry for interrupting. What was the reference in Proverbs?
Proverbs 15:23. But the second part is actually the Passion translation of how I was saying the one that kind of like spoke to me. Yes. So anyways, gives a precious word in season to those who are weary. Prophecy also comes to those who hear. You know, prophecy requires God to speak and his people to listen. We've been talking a lot this whole study just about hearing from God and receiving from God. And, you know, Bonnie's super passionate about, like, we don't just give our opinions. We don't just give good advice because it's not effective. Like, we go astray so much. It's so important that we actually receive in our spirit to then be able to give out of our spirit, to minister it out of our spirit. And so that communion with the Lord, that receiving from the Holy Spirit first in order to share with others, is arguably the most vital part of this, because we will go so wrong speaking to people without us first hearing from God. And then finally, prophecy comes through self-denial. In order to prophesy, we really have to experience this death of self, of this self-pleasing ego that we can tend to have. We should question ourselves, am I after personal gain? Am I after, oh, Lacey's so amazing, she, you know, said the right thing or spoke to me something perfectly, or even self-gain of, I'm trying to tell somebody this for my own benefit or to build myself up? Or am I truly speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit? You know, this is really, really a humbling one, to be able to check ourselves, like to have that self-denial and see what our motivation is. You know, this has always been his plan from the beginning, God's plans, that you and I get this joy and privilege of partnering, participating with God, for God on the earth. I mean, it's not something to be taken lightly. And this nature of prophecy that I've spoken of, this is not a checklist, so to speak. Like, there can be more outside of this, but it is pretty good parameters. This checklist, or this list, is not directly in Scripture, but it agrees with Scripture. Scripture backs up all these points here, but I just want to clarify, it's not exhaustive. You know, God, he's so good, and he moves in so many different ways and speaks in so many different ways, and that's his way of doing things, and we just rest knowing that he's good and how he works. And so before I move on to how to judge prophecy, I just have some questions for you guys to think about in terms of utilizing this gift of prophecy. What would change in your life if for every conversation you invited the Holy Spirit into it? What would change if every conversation was birthed and nurtured by the Holy Spirit? I mean, can you imagine what would happen in the body of Christ if this gift is truly for the edification of the church? What would it look like for me to go in with a frame of mind of, how can I build somebody up? How can I encourage them? God, what do you want to say to this person when I'm conversing with them? Going back to the pastor that I was telling you the definition from, he gives these questions to ask before having a conversation with someone that I thought were pretty good. He says, three questions to ask. How can I strengthen them? What has God spoken to them that I can confirm? And what pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort? I think it's really amazing.
Can you repeat those again?
Yes, sorry. Kind of. Number one. How can I strengthen them? Number two, what has God spoken to them that I can confirm? And number three, what pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort?
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, this was even a challenge to myself. It's just a different way of engaging in conversation, especially among believers. If my heart is truly to pursue this gift, to earnestly desire, to seek after, to edify his body, God, how can I be used? What do you want to speak to me that I can say to them? What do you want to comfort in their life? It's a different frame of mind walking into conversation. I could stop there and we could be done, but we have to move on this morning on how to judge prophecy. So we're going to do that, which is just as important as knowing the nature of prophecy, because unfortunately, prophecy goes wrong all the time. Whether just false prophets or speaking on their own accord, it can just be very dangerous territory. And so it's really important to kind of walk through, what does it look like to judge prophecy? Again, I'm going to give you guys several kind of tests, but want to just emphasize again that this is not like a checklist, like many other things here. This is just a tool to run things through, to evaluate things that you're hearing, that people are speaking into your life. I'm going to go through several little tests here, but they can actually be summed up in really three. Does the prophecy agree with Scripture? Does the prophecy uplift Jesus Christ? And does the prophecy build up God's people? Those would kind of be like the overview umbrella of all these tests. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 21 says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good." Prophecy is super important. Scripture is very clear. Do not despise it. However, with that, it has to be tested. Just because somebody says, "Oh, God says this," that doesn't mean it's from the mouth of the Lord. And far too many times it's not, unfortunately. Prince gives a great example of this in the book that I really love that spoke to me. He talks about when you're given a whole fish to eat. Think fish with bones. I don't know how many of y'all have traveled outside the U.S., but typically in other countries, you are given a whole fish to eat at a meal to include the bones. And what do? You eat the meat and you spit out the bones. And Prince says this is the exact same way with prophecy. There are going to be aspects of it that are absolutely true that we should eat the meat of. But he says, do not give yourself indigestion by trying to swallow the bones. Super important, going back to test all things and hold fast to what is good. It would say hold fast to it all if we were intended to hold fast to it all. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Again, it's just reiterating this concept of the importance of testing these spirits, testing these words that people are speaking to us, knowing that they are not all from God. So to go down into more detail on these tests, test number one, does it build up or condemn? We talked earlier in great length about what prophecy is. It's for exhorting, for edifying, for comforting, not for condemnation. Prophecy is such a powerful, powerful instrument. And if it's misused, it's very misused to the destruction of people, and honestly, to the destruction of the church and local bodies in general. And we see that all the time. You know, the Holy Spirit will use conviction. He does. He will use conviction in correcting us. But conviction is never vague or obscure. It's very specific, leaving us with something that we are to do. Maybe we're supposed to repent. Maybe we're supposed to give something back that we stole from somebody. It's so specific. Condemnation is a lot more vague, typically, about our character, about who we are, about what we've done, that you can't really trace. I want to give a story here of prophecy kind of gone wrong from a friend that I got permission to share. But anyway, she, her and her husband received a word of prophecy from somebody, and basically the context was that her husband was, you know, struggling with lust that was going to lead to having an affair. And the problem with the prophecy is that it was covered in scripture. It was said with a very gentle tone, very, very convincing in how it was presented. But the problem was it was so far from the truth. This person had said they received all these scriptures and they added up, and this is what they concluded as a result. It seems like, oh, of course, that's just false. Like, run from it. That's not how it typically works. The enemy tries to get in those moments, because what does that do? Plant a seed of doubt in the wife that maybe perhaps there is something more here or something that I don't know of. It's destructive in many, many forms. There is zero building up through that, and pure condemnation and confusion more than anything. And so I know that's an extreme example, but unfortunately, things happen like this all the time. And if somebody chooses to believe, you can see the ripple effect of how that happens. Test number two, does it agree with Scripture? The spirit of all true prophecy is the Holy Spirit. Ladies, it's not mediums. It's not speaking to the dead. It's not palm readers. Anything relating to this stuff, which is very, very, very prevalent in our day and age. You can drive down the street and see a sign for somebody who wants to tell you what's going to happen in your future. There is so much caution here. Scripture speaks directly against these things, that this is not how we're going to receive from the Lord about things in our life. There is consistency of God's word. All his promises are yes in Jesus Christ. And so we have to weigh something. If somebody is telling you something and it is completely directly against what Scripture is saying, you can know to not receive it. Test three, what is the prophet's relationship with Christ? And you may or may not know this. I think sometimes it can be more obvious than others. If somebody typically has a reputation for giving words that are inaccurate, if their relationship with the Lord is volatile, if they're half in, if they're half out, it begs a question to like raise a little bit of concern of maybe needing to run what they're saying through some of these other tests. Test four, do the prophet and prophecy bear good fruit? God's order is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit of this person's life who's speaking to you? And what would the fruit be of the word that they're speaking to you? Test five, were the prophet's predictions true? If prophecy, Prince says, contains predictions concerning the future, and these are not fulfilled, the prophecy did not come from God. I'm going to give Bonnie's story that she shared here many times, but I think it's such a good example of several people prophesying over her first daughter that it was going to be a boy. And obviously, Becca's born. She's very much a girl, still is a girl. And so it's just dangerous territory. You look at this test and you're like, okay, that prediction was not true. Like, that was not from the Lord. And sometimes it's as clear cut as that. People can also tend to go beyond what the Holy Spirit is speaking out of excitement. They might start as truth and then be really excited at the emotional response that they're receiving and then keep talking. I had a friend visit a couple weeks ago, and I brought her to church with me. And at the end of the service, there were a few people that prayed over her, which was super great. And I was talking to her after, like, how was it, you know? And she was like, it was really good, most of it. She said, you know, it was really interesting because I could tell when somebody was praying from the Spirit and it turned to self. And I was like, I just was so thrown off by that answer. Like, that's not what I was expecting to hear. But it did remind me, like, you know, when somebody is speaking and praying and you're like, it is just resonating with you. Like, you were like, they're operating in the Spirit. And I've been guilty of this before too. You're like, oh my gosh, they're like loving it. And you just keep speaking, thinking that it's going to help by adding more words. And typically it tends to just start being of our own accord. That's why we go back to testing the spirits, of eating what is good, of spitting out what is not good. But it takes real discernment and being in tune with the Holy Spirit to even be able to do that. Test six, does the prophecy promote obedience to God? We know through scripture that he calls us to be obedient. If it is not leading us to be obedient to the Lord, it's not from him. Does the prophecy bring freedom and peace? Bondage, confusion, and fear are not from the Holy Spirit. Going back to my example earlier that I was telling you about the friend and her husband, there was a lot of both fear and confusion that were brought in. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates. He doesn't give us things to bring fear and bondage and confusion into our life. He gives the complete opposite. I have come so that they may have life and life more abundantly, to the fullest opposite of bondage, confusion, and fear. In line with that, does the prophecy harmonize and bring life? It should bring fresh life. Again, we just keep bringing these back to even the nature of prophecy, edification of the body. When you're thinking of all these things, if we're trying to edify the body, we are wanting to bring life in the body. We're wanting to bring unity. We're wanting to bring harmony into the body. We're not bringing disarray and discord and, tearing down the church, tearing down people, condemning people. That does not fall in line with what he says about it being for the edification of the church. And then finally, is there a sense of warning? This is kind of a test within you. If you feel a sense of warning that something is not correct, that something's speaking, this can be really simple or very extreme. My husband Taylor and I kind of had an example with this. We were living in Tennessee at the time and really sensing that we were supposed to move. And so we started feeling like God was going to move us to Virginia, and it was kind of getting confirmed by different things, but still kind of fighting it. We never thought we'd be here, all that kind of stuff. And so somebody that we really admire and respect in our lives, actually, he even officiated our wedding. Great guy. Still think extremely highly of him. He called Taylor one day, and he was running for like a political office, and said, like, I really feel from the Lord, like, you guys are supposed to move here and be a part of my team for this. And hearing that, while being, I guess, honored by that, we knew in our gut, like, okay, that's not from God. But like, we really struggled with a bit of confusion, because like, to him, the Lord was speaking this, you know? And so we really had to kind of like wrestle through it not lining up with things that we were already speaking. Anyway, there was that sense of warning, and it very evidently was not gonna be the right decision if we had chosen it, for things that I won't talk about here. But sometimes it is just trusting, like, the Holy Spirit gives us just like a prompting and an eerie feeling that something is not right. And that's a place that we really need to lean into, because I believe the Holy Spirit speaks through that way. I was really unsure how to end this teaching. I was wrestling with it, and I was like, God, there's so much information here. How do I kind of like tie this up? And I was texting a good friend, like, hey, can you pray for me in general about this teaching? And I was saying what it was about, and she responded back, definitely, what a beautiful topic, nothing better than God speaking to his children. And I was like, that's it. Like, there's nothing better than God speaking to his children. If you take away anything from this message, it is knowing that your heavenly Father wants to speak to you, every single one of us. He doesn't care about our qualifications. He doesn't care about
our age, if we are in Christ, he wants to use us to build people up, to encourage them. And so we should really have an earnest desire and seek after this gift. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the time this morning, Lord. And I just pray that your word would penetrate my heart and also these women here, God. I thank you for giving us this gift, truly. What an honor and a joy it is that you would choose us to partner with you to edify your body that you love so much, God. I just pray that we would take this gift seriously, God. Give us the desire where we're lacking it to operate in this gift of prophecy, Lord. We just pray that as we go into a time of ministry, we just welcome your Holy Spirit to take charge, however you want this time to look, God, and that you would speak and we would be open to receiving from you for the remainder of the morning, God. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.